Welcome to the Inside Slant Podcast.
Inside Slant Podcast.
Brought to you by JayhawkSlant.com.
Shay, where do you rank Bill Self's class?
It's definitely one of the top 10 classes in the country.
Bringing you all the latest info from the coaches, players, and recruits.
Kirby, how big is this commitment?
Well, he's the type of recruit that can change the whole class.
For all of the latest KU news, analysis, and discussion, go online to JayhawkSlant.com. The online leader in recruiting and team coverage. Here's the staff from JayhawkSlant.com.
Hey, everybody, this is Randy Withers. Welcome into another edition of the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. This one's going to bring you a little bit of everything. We're going to talk some KU hoops. We're going to bring in our man Shay Wildebor. Look back over what's been going on so far, the trip to Puerto Rico, recruiting updates, things like that. And then I'm going to bring in John Kirby, and we're going to look over everything that has been going on with Kansas football during fall camp. And finally, look ahead to week one as the Jayhawks gear up to go just a week from now. We're also going to be joined by one of the nation's authorities on college football, the man, the myth, the legend, the guy with the magazine that is just an absolute Bible. If you are a college football fan, you know what I'm talking about. Phil Steele will join us in this episode. So let's get rolling. Let me waste no more time. I'm going to bring in my man on the men's basketball beat, Shay Wildebor. Shay, how you doing, man?
What's up, brother? Hey, you guys, it's getting about busy time for you. Football's coming, baby.
Man, it has been a long time coming. I am so fired up to get rolling.
Hey, and Randy, how are the really expectations? I mean, is this, I mean, they got the quarterbacks, they got the running backs, they got dudes on defense. I mean, is this, could we potentially see another bowl?
I believe so. I mean, I'm always the optimist. I'm a homer, but I think that things are rolling. I think that we're starting to see some good things really developing with this program. And, you know, I sure hope we get a chance to go bowling again next December. You know, on the topic of bowling, hey, let's bring in our man on the Kansas football beat, our publisher of Jayhawk Slant, John Kirby. John, let's just start right off the top. Will this team be bowling this year?
Well, you know, they asked me that on Sports Radio 810 this morning, and they said, what is the goal? And I said, or what was my prediction? You know, instead of sitting here and going 6-6 or 7-5 or whatever the prediction is, Randy, I'm just telling you the key is winning six games. Okay, whatever comes on top of that's gravy, because if they can get to back-to-back bowl games, then they have sold, they can sell everything that this program's ever done. It'll only be the second time in the history of the program that they've ever gone to back-to-back bowls, and they can sell that to recruits and the parents and the upgrades coming to the stadium. So, you know, we'll get there. Hey, we got some high school football tonight. You know, I was just looking at that, looking at some games to look at. And tell you what, though, I'm going to be inside. I'm not going to be outside.
Oh, it's rough. I mean, I'm looking on my desktop right now. I think it's showing, you know, 103. I'm glad that they pushed kickoffs back to 8 o'clock. But the thing about it, it's supposed to be 85 degrees tomorrow. I would have just pushed everything to Saturday. No reason we can't have week one on a Saturday. It'd have been awesome.
Yeah, Randy, I saw last night, they were interviewing a couple high school athletic directors, and they're like, yeah, we're pushing our games back an hour. And I'm thinking, what's an hour going to do?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, what the KU's women's soccer team last night, I think they pushed their start time back till 9. They pushed it back 2 hours. And I can see that because, you know, now you're starting, the sun's going down and, you know, there's some other factors coming in where it's cooling down a little bit more. But, man, it has been brutal.
Oh, this is one of the worst summers. Go ahead, Shay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Kemper was supposed to have a scrimmage. Olathe West was supposed to scrimmage, have a jamboree today with, like, Miege and a couple other schools. And they said, fellas, it ain't happening. So what they did was, the new coach up at West, they had a scrimmage, and Kemper had to be at CBAC today at like 5:30 or 6.
Oh, yeah, in the morning. Yeah, everybody's been going at like 5:30 in the morning around here. It's been crazy.
Yeah.
I saw there, I think it was one of the news stations this morning, I think it might have been Channel 4, they were broadcasting live from Miege during their 6 a.m. practice. You know, it's right. It's pitch black out, and they've got LED lights set up on the track doing a live shot during the morning show. It has been rough. I am so excited for the fact that it's going to be 85 tomorrow. It's going to anybody else, they're probably like, it's still hot and humid. Here, we're going to be like, no, fall has arrived.
I started going back to the gym about 2 weeks ago, and I've been walking every morning first.
Yeah.
Between 7 and 9 miles every morning, fellas.
Wow, Shay, there you go.
It's brutally, brutally, brutally hot.
Oh, yeah.
It's
hey, so at like 7 out. In the morning the other day, I think it was, I went to let my dogs out. I opened the back door, and I mean, it just hit you right in the face. I mean, you're thinking 7 in the morning is going to be good? I mean, it was hot and humid.
Terribly hot.
Oh, it's brutal. I mean, I ended up with heat exhaustion after last weekend. We spent probably 6-7 hours on Saturday and then 6-7 hours again on Sunday, working around the house, getting just the last minute stuff to get it to go on the market. And I spent, at one point, I was outside, kind of using, they have those bottles of cleaner. You're spraying off the outside of the house, and I'm doing that. And I was listening to the replay of the Seahawks preseason game on NFL Network over my ear pods and was just really kind of not thinking about the time. And I started feeling a little rough. And next thing I know, yeah, we got home and I went to grab my Quick Trip cup, my iced tea out of the cup holder in the car. And I'm walking through the garage as I'm finishing up and heading into the house. And I can feel the cold radiating down my arm. And that's when I was like, yeah, I might have pushed it too far, and I left work at midday on Monday, took Tuesday off, and just trying to get over it. It has been horrible,
dude. That was just your excuse to get out of work with the wife,
probably. Hey, and you know what? Ain't nobody gonna be mad at me because it was like 105 degrees. You know, it's so good to be back at this and gearing up for our weekly football game preview podcast that Kirby and I do and that we bring in Shay for on occasion. You know, I know we've been talking about the weather and how everybody's doing. Let's go ahead and just jump right into this basketball stuff. Shay, let's start off with what is just some of the biggest recruiting news, not just for the Jayhawks, but in all of college basketball. And that's the addition of Johnny Furphy. I know he's an interesting story. Just take us through how Self got involved with him, where he's from, and what your expectations are for the young guy at this point.
Yeah, they originally, you know, they saw him, I believe, in Atlanta during the July period, and they saw him multiple times in Las Vegas. And this is a guy, you know, Self loves him, 6'8", 205 pounds, can shoot the basketball, originally from Melbourne, Australia. And Randy, here's the funny thing. I had originally heard, you know, he's a 2023 kid, I believe, then reclassed to 2024, and then obviously made the move back to Kansas back in the 2023 class. I had originally heard, you know, that he was maybe having second thoughts. You know, I thought Kansas would get him earlier. You know, everything I heard was Kansas, Kansas, Kansas. And then All of a sudden there was kind of a lull. No news really going on. Nothing to report on him. I believe he originally came out with a list. And then all of a sudden I'm sitting home one day and boom, Johnny Furphy to Kansas. And this is a kid that they absolutely love. And I'll tell you this, I was out at that PXG golf thing the other day and spent a little time with Coach Self, and there is no doubt that he can win his third title at Kansas this next season. There's no doubt about it. The thing for me is can they shoot the basketball? And I think that's one of the things that they really love about Johnny. He's long. He can stretch the court. He can get to the basket too. He's got the mid-range. But the thing that he can do is he can shoot the ball. And I think if Kansas as a team, and they've got some guys that can shoot it. If they can shoot the ball this year, because I'm not worried about Hunter. Hunter's going to be Hunter. The thing is that, you know, can Johnny Furphy give you some threes? Can Kevin McCullough give you some threes? Can Arterio Morris give you some threes? Can Marco Jackson give you some threes? Can Nicholas Timberlake give you some threes? And some other guys. So I think they're great down low. I think KJ Adams is going to flourish at the four, you know, sliding over, not having to worry about that with Hunter. The thing is, can they shoot? Can they have success? And I think Johnny Furphy will give them the opportunity to really, really, really have a special season.
I think this is the first time in several years, really, and I know the game has evolved a lot just in the last 5 years, but this feels like the first time in a while that we are going to see a Bill Self squad where he, if he wanted to, could kind of go back to that traditional high-low double post offense that we used to see, that, you know, he was known for so long. I mean, I don't know how much of a place there really is for, you know, a traditional high-low like they used to run anymore with the way people are stretching the floor. And we're talking about guys that are nearly 7 foot. Can they hit some threes? But I mean, this is, you have to think that deep down, Bill Self is just absolutely giddy about this situation right now.
Absolutely. He again, when I was talking to him the other day at the golf, you know, he was having a hard time not smiling. I mean, he wants to get up and down the court. You know, he's got two guys that he's going to absolutely love playing high-low off of. You know, you got a Hunter Dickinson who can step outside. You got a KJ Adams who's working on his shot. You know, I don't know if he's ever going to be a solid 15, 17, 18-foot jump shooter, but I know he's been working on it. To me, when I look at this team this year right now, when I see the guards – is what really gets me excited. You throw DeJuan Harris out there, you throw Artario Morris out there, you throw Marco Jackson out there, and that's one hell of a lineup. And I don't mean to say that, but that in itself should get Kansas fans excited, because now all of a sudden you can throw a Timberlake out there as well. You know, you can throw Kevin McCullough, obviously, is a guy they're going to count on. You know, I'm interested to see what happens with Zach Clements. I know that he talked about redshirting, and that's a plan, but if that happens or not. I mean, you know, Bill is going to go from last year's team that really didn't have a bench, which kind of really hurt them towards the end of the season, to a team that is absolutely loaded from top to bottom. And to be honest with you, I'm not worried about what anybody thinks. The job that Bill Self did last year was absolutely unbelievable, because I'm not sure that team – with such a lack of depth should have been the number one seed. I'm not sure that team should have won the Big 12 championship. Any other coach other than Self coaching that team, and that never happens. It just doesn't happen. That's the kind of guy he is. And Randy, I'm going to tell you this. I had a guy tell me, and I haven't repeated this yet. When this whole cloud with the NCAA kind of removes itself, someone told me that KU was going to knock the hell out of the recruiting trail, because they haven't been able to get the guys they want. It just hasn't really been happening. I mean, they brought in some nice guys, but if you look at the guys that they've had in the
past. I just got to pause for a second. How ridiculous does that sound? They haven't been able to get the guys that they want.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's no disrespect to the guys that they've gotten, but I mean, like, no. The Wiggins is. I mean, listen, KU is going to make a serious run at Cooper Flagg. I'm saying that right now. The number one ranked player in America out at Montverde. Everybody said, oh, he's going to Duke. Well, he didn't go to Duke, and now all of a sudden he's going to visit Duke, Connecticut, and Kansas. Everybody said the same thing about Florey. Florey's going to Duke, or Florey's going to Auburn. Well, guess what? Where did Florey end up? I mean, once you remove this cloud that's been hanging over KU for, I think, 6 or 7 years now, I'm just telling you now, watch out. I mean, and I hate to use the term dudes, because I know where that, with that reference, they're going to bring in some cats and some guys and whatever you want to call. I think he's got a chance, as good as he's been already. And if you look at the guy that came before Bill, he was a pretty good coach, never won one at Kansas, and Roy Williams. Mm-hmm. Bill's got two now. He could have been three with the COVID year. And I think just moving forward, I hate to use the term sleeping giant, because they're the number one team overall in wins and so much success, but they've been handicapped a little bit, or handcuffed. And I think I'm interested to see moving forward. You know, you got Florey, you got a guy like Jahlil Bethea that's going to visit. You got a Cooper Flagg. I just think, and I know we kind of sidetracked, but I mean, it's, I can't explain to you the potential that this has once this case resolves itself.
Okay, so we're talking potential, but that's, like you say, that could happen, and that's potentially right. A way off. Not only that, we got a small glimpse of this team a few weeks ago in Puerto Rico. What did you see from this year's squad, and what are your takeaways, good and bad, as we gear up for, gosh, I guess the next thing is boot camp at this point?
Right. Well, first of all, I love Hunter Dickinson. I know people might have been a little this or that, or I mean, he had, I think, 28-6 the first, and I could be right, 28-6. 13-6, and then I think the last game he had like 16-9. I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to be an absolute star. He's the big man that every school wanted, but only one school could get. And I think Kansas is going to, I mean, I think they're going to be really, really, really fortunate to have him. I want Artario Morris to be healthy. You know, I think he had 20 points game number two before he went down. He was 8 of 12, I think, from the field, 3 of 5 from behind the arc. You know, he's a guard that can rebound, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. Love his athleticism, love his confidence. He's going to bring a swagger, Randy, to this team that I think, and I hate to say that hasn't been, because they've had, you know, they had Christian Brown who had some swagger and Ochai who had some swagger, but I think this is going to be a different kind of swagger, and I think it's going to, you know, I think it's going to serve this team well. I loved the third game, what I saw from DeJuan Harris. I don't think he needs to average 23 points a game. I'm not necessarily sure he needs to take 14 shots a game. You know, but when he's aggressive and when he's hitting, he's a difference maker. Why? Because it opens up the court for everybody else. You know, if you leave DeJuan Harris open and he's not hitting, he's not having any success. You know, obviously he's a great distributor. He's a facilitator. He's going to get other guys involved. And I love that about him. But I think if you can get 10 to 12 points a game from him, it's going to open everything up. You know, not my sleeper, because I hate to use the word sleeper, but I think the guy that you're going to want to focus on, maybe a couple guys. I love El Marco, super athletic. He is, I think I want to say, maybe confident beyond his years. He knows the game, high IQ. I think he's going to have a ton of success early. You know, I love Nicholas Timberlake. I do. He's a guy that in all his time at Towson never appeared in an NCAA tournament, never experienced a lot of success, never knew what it was like to feel those big game butterflies, if you will. You know, Missouri, Kansas, Allen Fieldhouse, 16,300 fans, live television, national audience, you know, everybody involved, hype before the game. You know, he's never experienced that before. So I think he's going to flourish in that environment. I do. You know, Kevin McCullough, can he, you know, I know he had 19 points, I believe, the last game, but can he be, again, a guy, 1 of 6 from three? Randy, we all know what he can do defensively. We know what he brings. We know his intensity. We know the passion he plays with. We know he can get to the cup. We know he can make big plays. I think the one thing that's holding him back is, you know, can he hit shots when he needs to hit shots? Instead of a 1 for 6 guy, can he be, you know, a 3 of 6 or a 4 of 7 guy? And I think that's going to be big for him moving forward. He's got one last year to really prove, you know, that he can be that guy that when needed or when called upon can hit shots from behind the arc. I think those are some of the keys. You know, you got Parker Brown. You know, I think he's going to be big for Kansas off the bench. He's a guy that's played in big games, has a ton of experience. You know, I think he's privately probably wanted to be at Kansas a long time, and the opportunity presented itself, and here he is. And I want to say this about Zach. You know, Zach, I've seen a different Zach. You know, I would never say he's a bad kid, because he's not a bad kid, but I think things happen for a reason, and when you kind of take a step back from certain situations, reevaluate what you want, where you want to be, and how you want to be, and how you want to get there, he's just been great. I saw him a few weeks ago at the you know, before they left for Puerto Rico, there was a golf event up in Lawrence. Spent a few minutes with him, and he's just a great kid. He seems maybe a little bit, I don't know if I want to use the word humbled, but just like he wants to be here, no rush. He doesn't have anywhere to be. He just wants to do what's best for the team and have success individually and team-wise. And so I haven't touched on everybody, but I think this team has a really chance to be special. And when you throw in a guy like Johnny Furphy, 6'8", 205, can shoot it, can stretch it. I think they've got a chance to win 30 games and be a number one seed again.
With all that considered, I know we talked about potential. Let's maybe not potential, but still recruiting. We've got some visitors that the squad is expecting in soon. Bill Self and his staff have been working hard on the recruiting trail, even looking ahead while they were working on Johnny Furphy. Get us caught up on who you're expecting and maybe your take on where KU stands with a few of these guys.
Yeah, Jaleel Bethea, a point guard, 6'4", 175, five-star kid. Everybody wants him. He's supposed to visit. He'll be actually visiting, 8:25 next week, 8:31. He's coming in for a visit, a guy that the staff has been recruiting a long time. There was one point when Kansas might have looked to be maybe trailing a little bit, and then they were the dark horse, and now I think Kansas has absolutely legitimately established themselves as a player in this. You know, Cooper Flagg hasn't scheduled a specific visit day yet, but from everything I've heard, I expect that to be on late night, and you guys, he's a generational talent. You think of Andrew Wiggins, you know, you think of a Joel Embiid. I talked to someone the other day. I said, in one word or two words, describe Cooper Kupp or Cooper. Why do I keep saying Cooper Kupp? This is a football season, right? Cooper Flagg, the guy looked at me and said, Shay, think Larry Bird.
Wow. Oh,
wow. Right. And I can tell you guys that this is a player that Bill Self would absolutely love to coach. I mean, if you can think of, and this is a stretch, this is kind of a reach, but just a broad example. If you think of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, that dynamic relationship that Reid has with Holmes, I think that's how Self would see Cooper. Coop. He'll be coming in, my guess, is late night. You've got Emmanuel Stevens, another 7 foot, 215 pound center coming in on September 5th. You've got Jared Harris, a guard from Mountain Texas, 6'4", 170, coming in the first of the month. You got Billy Richmond, a kid that's coming, a small forward that's coming in for late night, 6'6", 210. Obviously, Flory's already visited. We got his commitment. They got some. If you throw in a guy like, and I'm not saying it's going to happen because it's recruiting and crazy things happen, but if you get a guy like Jahlil Bethea, you get a guy like Cooper Flagg, you've already got Flory, and Flory's a star, 6'9", 220. I'm not sure if you've seen his video. I would highly recommend it. Gets up and down the court nonstop. Reminds me of the motor, similar to Thomas Robinson in terms of the motor. Blocks, rebounds, defends. And once his offensive game comes around, I mean, this is a guy. Not long ago, he was a number two ranked player in America. You got bumped down a couple, and then obviously with Flagg making the move, you got bumped down one more. But a guy that's every bit as good as advertised, and you couldn't have started out, unless it was Cooper Flagg, you couldn't have started out of the class any better.
That was a lot of information really, really, really fast. We appreciate you joining us tonight. We will have you back again soon as we gear up and continue to roll on through football season and gear up for college basketball. Thanks for coming on, man.
All right, brothers. You guys have a good night.
That's our man, Shea Wildebor, on the men's basketball beat. Now it's time to kick it into high gear for college football. Bring in our man, John Kirby, from the Memorial Stadium Slant Suite. Easy for me to say. John, are you ready?
I'm ready. I am excited to be in that press box next Friday for Missouri State. And, you know, you and I, we're going to start kicking up our podcast. We're going to start bringing it weekly. So we'll definitely touch on the game and give everybody our predictions and start doing some research on Missouri State for our next podcast. But I am excited for football. And, hey, I'll tell you what, we got some college football tomorrow to watch. So yes. It starts tomorrow.
I cannot wait, even though maybe the only thing worth maybe taking a peek at for a little bit is going to be the Notre Dame Navy game from Dublin. I'm still can't wait to flip on the TV finally and be able to see college ball. You know, I know you said going in that you expected a tame fall camp this year. Did it play out the way that you thought it would?
Yeah, it did, Randy. It was tame. It's funny. I've had a couple people that are just longtime friends of mine that are KU football fans, and they're like, "Golly, there didn't seem to be a lot of news this fall camp." I said, "What did I tell you? I told you going in that fall camp was not going to be this crazy, all this position battles and back and forth and back and forth. I mean, KU, you know, and I'm sure Phil Steele will tell us, you know, production wise, KU returns the most production of any program in the country. So we know who a lot of the players are and the starters are. And even in some areas of two deep, which we'll get into here in a little bit, but you know, Randy, it was tame that you called it a good word there. Everything was crisp and organized. You know, I was around the program all month. Just when you see everything, how buttoned up everything is and the job Leipold's done and just watching Gildersleeve and all the players. I mean, there's a program now. It's a system. I mean, there is it's crazy to think. I think Leipold, this is his third fall camp and he's been here for two spring football seasons. But there's so much change. I mean, just the infrastructure's there. There's just so many shades of when it reminded me of Mangino, the organization and the structure that they had. Another thing they came through, Randy, that I thought was good in the fall camp, just not a lot of major injuries. I know Ron McGee is lost for the season. You know, he was a D tackle. They moved him to defensive end. But other than that, I think all the injuries have been bumps and bruises. We don't we just haven't really had a chance to get much on Jalen Daniels and find out what's there. We met with Lance on Wednesday, and he said he's progressing, but didn't give much detail, said he'll have more next week. So, you know, the few guys here and there we'll touch on a little later that I'm sure that maybe made a little run up the depth chart or were a surprise in fall camp.
Before we get into a few other topics, you know, I have to turn this thing over to John on the studio line, and we get to hear from one of the absolute best in the business. This is one of my favorite things that we do every single year. Let's kick it over to John Kirby and hear from our good friend, Mr. Phil Steele.
We are joined by one of the most listened to guests we get on our show all year long. I call him the human college football computer, Phil Steele. Phil, how are you doing today?
You know, I am doing great, John, and I imagine if you just cover Kansas football for a living, you got to be doing tremendous based on what happened over the last decade plus.
Well, you know, you and I, you know, kind of joked before we got on the air here that, you know, Kansas football now, there's some expectations and things like that. I, you know, more excitement among the fan base. So it'll definitely be an interesting kind of uncharted, you know, waters for Kansas football over these last 14 years.
Yeah, and, you know, it's interesting. When I talked to Coach Leipold, John, I said to him, I said, Coach, you're making things more difficult for me. I used to be able to just pick Kansas last and then move on with the rest of the Big 12, and I can't do that anymore. And he said, Phil, not going to apologize.
Well, you know, I saw him. I think it was social media. You put a post up thanking him for your time. So, you know, I'm just curious, after you've had a chance to talk with him and look over the Jayhawks roster and everything, you know, just where do you think the program is right now?
I think the program is clearly pointed up. I mean, you take a look at the job that he did at Buffalo. And, you know, I talked to him each year he was at Buffalo. Watch the transition. You know, they had two losing years the first 2 years, then all of a sudden 6-6, 10-4, 8-5, 6-1. They were dominant down the stretch under Leipold. He really built the team the right way. You know, he took some lumps early on, but he built the team with a strong running game, a strong defense. And in here at Kansas, he's got himself a quarterback that he didn't even have at Buffalo, a guy like Jalen Daniels. They've got the run game with Neal and Hinshaw. In fact, they're the most experienced team in college football. All the arrows are pointing up on Kansas this year. The schedule's a little bit more difficult than last year, but and I think the main thing for Kansas probably going to be the run defense. But I imagine we'll get into that as we go through the podcast here.
Yeah, you know, that was my kind of one of my next things I wanted to just talk to you about. You know, just what do you see from the personnel from this team when you look at them?
Yeah, start with the quarterback. You got to be thrilled. I mean, Jalen Daniels is electric. He led the nation in total QBR last year. And then you look at Jason Bean, when he came off the bench, highly effective. So I like the quarterback tandem they have. It's good to have that type of depth. Always good when you have an experienced backup. The running backs, you've got Devin Neal, and a 1,000-yard rusher from last year, Hinshaw, and then Dylan McDuffie, who didn't do much at Georgia Tech last year, but when he was at Buffalo under Coach Leipold, had a 1,000-yard year. So he's a guy that can really be productive. The receivers are all back. All four of the top four receivers back from last year. You got to love that. The offensive line last year had five starters back this year. They got four starters back this year, so they're in great shape. This is going to be an explosive Kansas offense. Now, my biggest question mark on the entire team is going to be that run defense, because last year Kansas, while they allowed 4.8 yards per carry on the year, sort of got shredded down the stretch running the football in the second half of the year, and they lose some key players off the defensive front. They do bring in a guy like Devin Phillips from Colorado State at the defensive tackle spot, which I like. Gage Keys comes in from Minnesota. Patrick Joyner from Utah State. Booker comes in from Minnesota. So they brought in some transfers, but they're going to have to gel. The back seven I like a lot. I mean, the linebacking core is a veteran group. You got led by Craig Young, the Ohio State transfer. The secondary is basically back intact this year. So this is a good back seven. Probably the one question mark I have on the defense this year, they got to be better stopping the run, because that was really the Achilles heel down the stretch.
Phil, I'll tell you, I'm impressed, because I know you go on all these shows across the country, and I don't think people understand. You can go on pretty much any college team and just throw out what you did and know all the personnel. That's I got to tell you, that's impressive. One of the things that you touched on earlier was the schedule. as you look down this schedule, just give me your thoughts on that.
There are some key toss-up games for me here on the schedule, John. And, you know, the games that I'm looking at would be Texas Tech at home, Kansas State at home, at Cincinnati, UCF at home. These are all big games. That Illinois game, week two, that's a big game for Kansas. And if this is one of those years with Kansas where the expectations are raised and you wonder what the ceiling is, I think the ceiling for Kansas this year could be as high as 9 wins if things go well. But there is a floor as well. As we recall the way the season ended last year, after that 5-0 start, they went just 1-7 down the stretch. If they start losing all of a sudden those toss-up games, the floor could be missing out on a bowl. Now, for the first time, my power ratings are calling, first time in a long time, I'll say. They used to call for it all the time back when Kansas had some good teams. But for the first time in 14 years, let's say, my power ratings are actually calling for Kansas to get to a bowl game.
So when you look at the conference, top to bottom, just what are your thoughts on the Big 12 going into this season?
Pretty much the same as they've been the last 2 years, John, which is, I don't know what the heck's going on in that conference. You know, you go back 2 years ago, all of a sudden Baylor, which was coming off a 2-win season, ends up winning the Big 12. And then last year, of course, everybody had TCU right up there, didn't they? They were picked, yeah. I think, 7th or 8th to get there, and they play Kansas State. A lot of folks don't even realize Kansas State won the Big 12 because, you know, TCU was playing in the national title game last year. And, you know, I'll tell you a true story, John. I go through the magazine, and it's in a 3-write-through process. And the first write-through, I go through, I've watched all the games. I got 12 TVs in front of me. I've lived the seasons. I've read all the articles. But then I go back and reread. Every article is written about the team, one team. I focus on one team for the day, and I write my postseason write-through. And so I go, what kind of shape was the team coming into last year, or this unit coming into last year? What happened last year? What kind of shape is the unit coming in this year? I put that kind of work into every single unit on the team. And after the first write-through process, I usually like to do some pre-predictions where I think teams could end up. They'll change because after talking to the coaches, they always do change. But I've done 10 conferences, the 10 conferences lined up, I pretty much had a good feel on 9 conferences. Who's favored, who's in the middle, who's at the bottom, and felt pretty good about all that. When I'm done at the Big 12, I just crumpled up the piece of paper, threw it against the wall, and said, damn, as you could pick, I could make a case for a team like Kansas, Iowa State, UCF, Oklahoma State, Texas Tech, Baylor, TCU, Kansas State, Oklahoma, or Texas. I can make a great case for you right now for any of those teams actually somehow getting to the Big 12 title game, and I can make a case against them as well. The Big 12 is the toughest conference for me to forecast because I feel top to bottom, it is the most competitive.
So when you look at the conference, you know, the conference realignment, you know, it feels like maybe the Big 12 is finally settled in right now. So you got BYU, Central Florida, Cincinnati, and Houston this year. And then next year, you bring in Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. Just what are your thoughts on that as a football conference?
You know, once again, John, being honest with you, when Texas and Oklahoma announced they were leaving the Big 12, I thought the Big 12 was toast. I said, you know what? They're going to lose some teams to the SEC. They'll lose some teams to the Big 10. The Pac-12 is going to gobble up some. Big 12 football is gone. Now, Big 12 football is pretty doggone strong. And while the brands they brought in, Cincinnati, Houston, BYU, I'm going to say those three because I think UCF can have success this year. But I think those three teams are going to struggle a little bit because of the depth they have. And Houston and Cincinnati are basically going through rebuilding seasons with the players they lost last year. I don't know if those three teams will be highly successful this year, but I like what Cincinnati's potential is, Houston's potential, BYU's potential, UCF's potential, and of course the four Pac-12 teams. Bringing in Utah is amazing because Utah's been one of my favorites in the Pac-12. I'm just amazed the job the Big 12 did, not only surviving, but now thriving. It's going to be a little different watching them play games out on the West Coast, but the teams they added are just tremendous.
That is always great information from Phil Steele, who I know the Kansas fans love to hear him. He puts out the best preseason magazine. And I'll tell you, if you're a college football fan and you really want to get into it, you've got to get the Phil Steele Plus. That is a must-have. And Phil, I appreciate you every year. You always come on and give us a great preseason look. And once again, thank you very much for joining the show and look forward to doing this again.
Yeah, and I had a great time doing it, as always, John. And like I said at the beginning, you got to have a lot more fun following Kansas football nowadays.
Phil, thanks very much for your time, man. I know you're probably headed to your next show.
Yeah, no problem. This is my fun time of year. But, hey, football starts tomorrow, huh, John?
Hey, we're ready for it. We're ready for it. We're getting ready to fire up our preseason football podcast and take them through the season. So I appreciate you joining us.
All right. Well, it's good talking to you again, and don't be a stranger, my friend.
All right. Take care, Phil.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
I know it was a fall camp that didn't really produce a lot of news, John, but you made a prediction the other day on the board about the two deep, and I want to go rapid fire. I know you love this, Kirby. I know you love when I pepper you with questions really fast and don't give you a chance to answer very much. So we're going to go through and get your take on each position as we get ready to head into game week. Are you ready?
I'm ready. What are you starting, offense or defense?
Well, I think there's only one place that we can start. Quarterback. Okay. Tell us what's going on with Jalen Daniels.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Randy, let's face it. I mean, your top two quarterbacks are Jalen Daniels and Jason Bean. Okay, I mean, and that's just providing that Jalen will be okay to go to week one. Nothing that we've heard that would tell us otherwise. You know, but, you know, there were some practices that he missed there. You know, the surprise, honestly, Randy, through fall camp is Cole Ballard. The emergence of him, I think a lot of people went in. I think a lot of people thought, hey, Mikey Pauley's going to be the guy who can make a run. But I don't think it's Pauley. You know, I think Pauley's probably sitting down there right now at the fifth string right now. So Cole Ballard, you know, is probably one of the bright spots of fall camp of the newcomers.
All right, that's the quarterbacks. Let's go to the running back room. What do we got happening?
Well, Devin Neal and Daniel Hyshaw. I mean, that's one and two. And as long as Neal and Hyshaw can stay healthy, they're as good as they come. I mean, those two guys in that 1-2 punch are really good. And you got some guys like McDuffie. And if Morrison can stay healthy behind him, provide some good depth. So, depth, I love the running back room.
Let's talk wide receivers. There's a lot of, you know, there are a lot of experienced guys coming back here, but some high-profile freshmen. Who's going to make noise?
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Randy. They asked me, Stephen St. John asked me this morning on Sports Radio 810. He said, give me a true freshman that stands out that's going to play on both sides of the ball. And I said, you know, I don't know that there are any. I mean, that's how much depth and returning, you know, experience is coming back. That I don't know how many
that's
true freshmen.
That's just crazy when you just to hear it. My gosh.
You just said the freshmen. There are some talented true freshmen in this program at wide receiver. But you've got Lawrence Arnold, you got Luke Grimm, you got Quentin Skinner. There's your three starters. Then you look behind them, you look at the two deep, Trevor Wilson, who's had a good camp. I've heard Doug Amillion's had a good camp. You got Tanaka Scott. There's six names right there at wide receiver that are fighting to be on the field. And then you've got these true freshmen that just came in. Hey, it might be a great year for them to just sit back and learn the system in redshirt.
We are living in the twilight zone, it feels like, when you're talking about freshmen that have a chance to develop as opposed to, hey, what's wrong? Why aren't they on the two deep? Why aren't they seeing more time? This music to every Jayhawk's ears. Let's go to maybe one of the deeper rooms on the roster, tight end. Who are we going to see at tight end, and why is it Jared Casey?
Well, I've got to think, you know, Mason Fairchild and Casey are going to be one and two, and then that's going to be followed by Trevor Cardell. So, again, there's your top three tight ends back.
The offensive line is potentially really interesting, and I know you said that there was maybe a chance for a little bit of movement on this one in camp. How did it play out?
Yeah, I don't know, Randy. I feel good as long as everybody's healthy. I feel good that it's going to be Dominic Pooney at the left tackle, Armaje Reed Adams at the right, Nowitzki at center, Mike Ford at the right guard, and then Cabledew at right tackle. So I think there's your starting five, okay? Like I said, providing nobody's banged up or injured. And then the way Fuchs does things is, I think he likes to focus on eight guys, okay? So that three behind him. Now, I think there's a chance Calvin Clements could be on the 2D, but I think that when you really look at how Fuchs does it, there's five guys and then there's kind of three backups, okay? And the three guys that I have in that next spot below him are Logan Brown, Spencer Lavelle, and then Kobe Baines, okay? Now, Baines can go to guard and a tackle. Lavelle's a guard. Brown's going to be a tackle. And then you got Mike Ford, who's starting at guard, that if he needed to, he could go to center. So there's a lot of interchangeable parts, but I'm kind of focusing with those guys as my main eight guys on the offensive line.
Let's go to the defensive line. Starting defensive tackle, tell us what we got.
Oh, this is going to be interesting. I think the D-line is the one area there could be some movement maybe of most all the players. I'm going to say Devin Phillips is going to be one starter. And then you've got Tommy Dunn or DJ Withers. And I think this is a coin flip. I think DJ Withers has really come on in fall camp. I think he's challenging Dunn. And, you know, when you talk to people, Randy, you know, I keep thinking, okay, fall camp's over. Mm-hmm. This week was a kind of a transition week. The kids are getting back into school and they're going to start, you know, moving into game week. I've heard there's some competitions that are still going to move into game week. They might release that depth chart to us on Monday, but there could still be changes after that depth chart comes out. So I look at Devin Phillips and then Tommy Dunn or DJ Withers, and then Gage Keys will back up there. And then whoever doesn't win the job between Dunn and Withers will be that next spot.
Defensive end is one that I think has kind of been interesting coming into this camp. What have you seen?
Yeah, this is another one. That rush end that has had a lot of attention from Kansas fans, a lot of talk with the loss of Lonnie Phelps, okay? I think there is a dead heat right now between Austin Booker or Hayden Hatcher. Again, right now, if you said put your money down, I'd just flip a coin. Because I think it's that close, it could go either way. They're both going to play. They're both going to get snaps. Who's going to be the starter? I don't know. I think it's up in the air. On the other side, you got Jeremy Robinson. And you got Davian Westmoreland there. And then Patrick Joyner. You know, I've always thought he would be more of a rush end. Kansas calls that strong side defensive end. They call it the stud position. That's where Jeremy Robinson plays. I think Patrick Joyner is starting to get some more snaps over there. So he could factor into that side too as well. And then I said Hatcher or Booker. So there's your guys right there. And then Dylan Brooks. You know, somebody told me the other day, they thought Dylan Brooks might be the most athletic of all the defensive ends. He just hadn't maybe quite put together yet. So he's a guy definitely to watch down the road.
Okay, let's go next level. Talk about the backers. What do we have happening to LB?
Yeah, you know, I think everything is solid there. I think Barry Hill's back, but J.B. Brown, I don't know where J.B. Brown's going to factor into this. I don't know if he can win the job and knock off Barry Hill, but, you know, you got to look at Craig Young, Rich Miller, and then Taiwan Barry Hill, and then J.B. Brown's going to figure in everything. Cornell Wheeler's had a great camp. So he'll be in there. And then that backup to the Hawk spot, you know, it's interesting. You know, I kept thinking, Logan Brantley, can he make that move this fall camp? Can he pull it off? True freshman. And I keep hearing Alex Raich and then Jason Gilliam at that backup for the Hawk position. So, you know, you could have, you know, three guys right there with Young, Raich, and Gilliam all getting snaps at the Hawk. So those are the guys right now at linebacker that I'd go with.
Let's go to the next level of defense. Stepping into that defensive backfield, the safety position, we kind of know some of the names here, but how are things looking after fall camp?
Yeah, I think it's the same. I think it's Kenny Logan and O.J. Burrows and then Marvin Grant and then Jalen Dye. And we talked about this on the last podcast. Randy, when you travel your squad, all right, you factor in special teams. And special teams, people take up spots. They take away guys from traveling. And keep an eye on Andrew Russell. I mean, he's a kid that started, I want to say, three special teams. He's going to start on three this time around. He's a safety. And he's definitely going to be one of the guys that takes up a spot at safety because he will have to travel with the team.
What about the cornerback position? This is another spot in the secondary. We saw some guys play a lot and play really well here last year. Any of the new names potentially transfer that we might see make some noise early part of the season?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think Demarius McGee's a guy that'll figure in there. You know, you got Kobe Bryant and Mello. There's your one and two. Okay, then you got Kalen Gervin. And then what happens is when KU goes small, when they go nickel, they'll move Young to one of the two linebacker spot. Then they'll take Gervin and they'll put him in as kind of that nickel back or the fifth defensive back. So you know, you got Bryant Dotson, you got Gervin, you got Demaryius McGee, and you got Quentin Lassiter. Those are your five guys I think are going to be taking most of the snaps early on in the year.
Okay, special teams. Everybody is interested in the punter position.
Yeah, well, I think that one's wrapped up. I think Damon Greaves has that one won, the Aussie from Australia. Hey, something I did hear about him, I heard he is way better than a lot of people thought he was going to be.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's exciting. All right, so talk about punter. What about the place kicker position?
Yeah, I'm gonna give the edge to Seth Keller. You know, I've heard this is one of those positions that could go into game week where they put the guys under some stress and put them in some field goal situations. But I'm just, my money's on Keller right now.
That's the full roster. That's all the way down the depth chart. It's time to put you on the spot. Just when you thought you were going to get a break, I'm going to put you somewhat on the spot again. I want you to give me five names right now, guys that elevated their stock during fall camp. Go.
Well, J.B. Brown. I got to say J.B. Brown at linebacker. When Barry Hill went out, I think he got a chance to step up and really did some good things. Austin Booker's kind of the same deal. When Hayden Hatcher had some time there where he was in and out of the lineup in fall camp, and I think Austin Booker stepped up and showed what he can do. I'll be honest with you, Randy. A guy that's raised his stock, Cole Ballard. He might be the true freshman. It's crazy to say, if you would have told me back in June, the true freshman coming into camp that has the best chance to get the snaps early in the year would be Cole Ballard, I would tell you you're crazy. But I'd have to say Cole Ballard has moved up. Demaryius McGee, I just talked about him. I would say he's had a good camp. What is that? Brown, Booker, Ballard, McGee, four. The fifth guy, I'm going to say the punter, Damon Greaves. I've just heard a lot of good things that he has looked very good. And listen, it's one of those things that they put a lot of trust into Pro Kick Australia, who has turned out a lot of great punters. And the people on staff have a good relationship with them. They were able to watch him punt a lot, you know, on video when he was in Australia. And you can see the guy and you can see what he can do. But then when he gets here and he does it live right in front of you all fall camp, I think they came away really impressed.
Okay, John, we are going to get into a lot more next week once we see the depth chart and we have an actual opponent to gear up for. I did want to wrap up with anything going on the recruiting trail. I know it's a time where right now I think the whole staff, they are focused almost 100% on gearing up for next Friday night, but anything percolating on the recruiting trail right now?
Not really, Randy. There will be. And like you just said, their focus has been fall camp, okay? And then all of the high school recruits, their focus has been getting into their camps in August. So,
or just surviving the heat.
There you go. There you go. So, I mean, you know, everybody right now is looking at their own football team, and the recruiting will come back. You know, and I talked about this in the last podcast. Recruiting's going to be slow these first few weeks of the season because KU's first two games are on Friday night at home, okay?
Yep.
And, you know, the only downside of that Illinois game would have been a great game to have some recruits at. But the two Friday night games are really going to hold back recruiting. And then week three, you're on the road at Nevada. So you're talking, what is it, September 23rd, I think it is, BYU. That'll be the first time that they can really get recruits in there. What I do expect the staff to start back up this coming week is they take one night and they just hammer the phones. They go up and down the hall. They're talking to guys. I think that's going to start up. And I think you're going to see a lot of emphasis on 2025 guys because 2024 is, for the most part, they're over. Done. I mean, they've got everything booked up. You know, Michael Boganowski obviously is one that we're tracking. And, you know, he looks like he's going to take his recruiting into fall. But 2025 is really where things are going to be at.
That is the final word from our man, John Kirby, and that will do it for this edition of the Inside Slant Podcast, the final edition before we start game week editions to get you ready for Saturdays, or in this case, like John said, the first two Friday nights of the year. For our man, Shea Wildebor on the men's basketball beat, for our guy, John Kirby, for covering Kansas football like no other. I'm Randy Withers. I almost forgot. You've been listening to the Inside Slant Podcast from JayhawkSlant.com. We will talk with you again next week.
This has been a podcast from JayhawkSlant.com.